May God bless the state of Israel, and may God bless the United States of America.
I'll tell you, the Prime Minister's speech was well-received based on what I could see through our television monitors and listening to the speech as much as we could in the 9 o'clock hour. But right there within the United States Congress, our 2nd District Congressman Chris Stewart was there to see it in person. And Chris, thank you for joining us. And what is your first blush reaction to the speech?
Well, it was obviously a very powerful speech, a powerful moment. It's easier to have power behind you when history and when the facts are on your side. And I just think that's the case here. I mean, the Prime Minister has very obvious concerns, and there's no question that I think he was persuasive in presenting those today.
Boy, it's awfully hard for Iran to escape from the bombastic, blatant, threatening, if not outright crazy comments that they've made over the years, whether it's Ahmadinejad speaking before the United Nations or whether it's the Ayatollah Khomeini, whomever it might be in leadership in Iran, it's hard for them to run from their words.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Doug, I think we talked last week. I can't remember if we talked before or after I spoke with Secretary Kerry, but I have an editorial in the Wall Street Journal this morning, in fact, on this topic, and it makes exactly that point. And that is, on what basis do we have that we can trust Iran on anything? You know, you go down a long, long list of them working against American interests, of them killing Americans, Hezbollah, Hamas. I mean, this stretches from North Korea to South America to Mexico. And yet this is the regime that we feel we can trust on one of the most critical national security issues of our day. And I just think it's foolishness to presume that they're going to comply with an agreement that they don't view as in their national interest.
I read your article in the Wall Street Journal, "In What Way Is Iran a Reliable Negotiating Partner?" And boy, that question mark looms large. And I thought it was interesting when the Prime Minister said, "This is a very bad deal. We're better off without it." And then he went on to say, "This bad deal won't, if we reject this bad deal, it won't lead to war. It will lead to a better deal." And basically challenged us and the rest of the world to call Iran's bluff.
Yeah. And you know, the administration sets up this straw man that the option is, well, you've either got to sign this deal or go to war. And that's not true at all. I mean, there's a third option. It's very obvious. The Prime Minister said it, and that is to negotiate a better deal. And that's what all of us are hoping and encouraging the President to do. But this deal, as is presently negotiated, it does not preclude Iran from receiving nuclear weapons or developing nuclear weapons. It, in fact, almost guarantees that they will develop nuclear weapons. All it does is it precludes them over the next few years. And you say, well, 10 years down the road, and I ask, do you think that they will be any better, any more friendly to the West 10 years down the road? Do you think they will have given up their regional ambitions 10 years down the road? Will they be more powerful or less powerful? And they're going to be more powerful because we will have lifted the sanctions. And I just can't understand what the administration is thinking, why they think it's acceptable to delay this for 10 years, but then nearly guarantee at that point that they will nuclearize their programs.
This part of the speech, too, and I'll play just a little bit of it again for our listeners, but he talked about Iran versus ISIS.
And don't be fooled. The battle between Iran and ISIS doesn't turn Iran into a friend of America. Iran and ISIS are competing for the crown of militant Islam. One calls itself the Islamic Republic. The other calls itself the Islamic State. Both want to impose a militant Islamic empire, first on the region and then on the entire world.
And then he went on to say, this is a deadly game of thrones. I'll tell you this, Chris, I have never heard it put that way that succinctly before. Netanyahu can really deliver a message.
No, he can, and that's why the administration has been so angry and so fearful of him coming to speak to us, because they know that he could. And honestly, Doug, he's one of the most powerful leaders on the world stage right now. And he's driven by a value of protecting his people. It's not by politics. You know, extending what the clip that you just played, I think he goes on at that point to say, the enemy of my enemy is not my friend. In this case, the enemy of my enemy is still my enemy. And
yeah,
that's exactly right.
It was interesting to watch this unfold. And it was interesting, too, to note that there were some who were not there, and whether it's because they're out of the country, if that was by design or not, you know, who'll know. But the Secretary of State out of the country, as I understand it, the Vice President out of the country. The President chose not to not only attend, but also not to meet with Mr. Netanyahu while he is here. It left our Senator Hatch sitting to the left of Mr. Boehner as the President Pro Tem of the Senate. It was an interesting setting this morning, and all kinds of interesting messages, just even in who's there, who's not there, and who's applauding, who's not applauding. It was really quite revealing.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, look, there's no question that the Vice President and Secretary of State made the decision to leave the country. They announced their travel plans after we knew that the Prime Minister was going to come and visit with us. And there's no question they did that to send a message. And, you know, it's interesting, too, we're meeting with groups, you know, that generally, you know, Jewish community is generally supportive of Democrats and liberal causes, but it really puts them in a bind. And frankly, it puts the Democrats in a bind. I had a what they call a special order last night on the House floor where for 1 hour we invited members to come down and to speak on this topic. And I invited many Democrats to come down and join me, and not one of them would. And I'm shocked at that. I mean, I'm seriously stunned at that. This is something that shouldn't be partisan and wouldn't have been partisan before. You know, gosh, I think the clarity of this is really clear. I mean, do you stand for Israel or do you not?
There are some that are trying to even make a racial issue of this, that a good number of those who are on the Democratic side of the aisle, 21 at last count, who did not attend are black. And some are trying to say that somehow that they were thinking that this showed a disrespect to the first black American president. Two of the Democratic Jewish members of Congress are over predominantly black districts. Are you putting any credence in that at all?
Well, no, of course not, Doug. It's silly. I mean, anytime you disagree with the president, it's not because you're racist. And motions and the process we go through to make a decision of what's the right thing to do on this has nothing to do with, frankly, the race or color of our president. It's just what do we think is the right thing to do for our country? And what do we think is the right thing to do for stability in a very chaotic part of the world? And, you know, honestly, to make that kind of argument is just, well, it's beyond silly now, and I don't think most people pay much attention to it.
Very quick final thought. What difference do you think this speech will make, Chris? And then I've got to go to our news.
Well, I'll answer very quickly. I think it will help. It will help those who really don't understand the issue or may not really know what the right thing to do is, and they're going to have some, they've had a very clear voice saying, we want to work with Iranians, but we got to do it in a way that protects our own national security and also protects our allies in the region.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug.
Our 2nd District Congressman Chris Stewart with us here at KSL News Radio in the aftermath of the speech from Benjamin Netanyahu to a joint meeting of the United States Congress.